come up on.
Often imitated, never duplicated. The one and only B. Scott. You're listening to The B. Scott Show. Get ready, love muffins.
Big bang, bitchy, yeah, bitch, I'm back at it. Post a thirst trap, bet your nigga double tap it. Got that comeback, gotta turn into an addict. Round of applause when that ass get to clapping. Booty so big, he wanna throw a stack on it. Bossy little bitch, keep a couple racks on me. 30-inch weave, I can sit my ass on it. Make your baby daddy wanna spit some cash on me. I ain't never ever worried about a sneak diss. Cause 9 times out of 10, it's from a weak bitch. Everything big, I don't do no weak shit. These bitches can't see me unless they pay the fee, bitch. I be staying to myself cause bitches jealous of my wealth. Instead of checking up on me, they need a checkup on their health. Let me make this shit real clear. All you bitches in my rear, my only competition ever is that bitch in the mirror. Bitch, I go retarded like I'm special ed. Whatever on my mind, believe it's gon' get said. You bragging about that nigga, I just left him on red. Yeah, he cute, but he look better between my legs. Let's go. Big bang, bitch, yeah, bitch, I'm back at it. Post a thirst trap, bet your nigga double tap it. Got that comeback, gotta turn him to an addict. Round of applause when that ass get to clapping. Booty so big, he wanna throw a stack on it. Bossy little bitch, keep a couple racks on me. 30-inch weave, I can sit my ass on it. Make your baby daddy.
Yay, yay. And just like that, we are back. I have been on a summer break. I needed a break for my sanity. I was gone the whole month of like June and I think the first part of July, but we're back now. This is the B. Scott Show, the one and only B. Scott here. And I'm also accompanied by my producer, Brian Vasquez.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
It is going. We're back and we're back on lockdown. Okay.
Yeah. Right back where we started.
You know, we're worse now. The numbers are worse than it was when we initially went on lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's something really crazy to wrap your head around. Like when we were going, we were freaking out. We all were like, oh my God, what's going to happen? We can't go outside. We have to shutter in place. Those numbers have gotten worse in California and across the country for a lot of states. And people are having actual discussions about opening back up. Like, how is that possible? Like, how I can't wrap my head around if it is worse than it was before and we locked down then, why are we not locking down now?
I knew we were going to blow it. I knew it. I just knew it. We were opening way too early.
And I knew we were going to blow it when I saw Orange County. Orange County, they are wilding. They are literally having protests about the fact that they have a right not to wear a mask.
Yeah, they're pretty dumb.
They're like having coronavirus parties, quarantine parties where no, like people getting drunk and just dancing. Like what I share to my love muffins is that on a daily basis, we are being bombarded with so much shit. Mm-hmm. It's like incoming from all directions. And I kind of felt that way just in general with my life. It's been like incoming, like in every direction. Like I have been just like every possible thing that I had needed to deal with or could possibly have to deal with, I have been dealing with. Like everything. And it's just been a lot. But I have been trying to keep positive. I've been talking to my therapist. You know, she actually went on vacation for a month. I said, hold on, lady. I need to talk to you. How are you going to go on vacation for a month? And I just don't have a therapist. So that was challenging. But this week, we did have our first therapy session back since our vacation. And it was really good because she really tapped into, one of my central issues that I have. And I have a big issue with trust. And I always knew that I had issues with trust, you know, stemming from how that trust was broken with family members in my life and also friends. And for me, it's like, it's hard because situation after situation, people don't even realize that people who are going to break your trust or betray you, like they have similar patterns in terms of how they start to act. So for me, the moment I see something that matches that pattern, I go into panic mode. I shut down. And, you know, her question, her homework she gave to me was, you know, do I want to trust again? Am I open to trusting again? And is that important for me? And if I did, what it would look like. And that ties into, I'm definitely 100% single.
Oh, boy.
So the guy that I was talking to, it is over, done, dada, like mission complete, never really started properly. It's like, it's been a saga. I had been talking to him off and on for like a year. More than a year, actually. And I did enjoy the time that we spent together, the companionship. But the lack of intimacy between us got to be too much. Hmm. And I basically was saying, I said to him, you know, because it was Kobe's situation happened, Corona, you know, virus situation happened, and then Black Lives Matter situation happened right back to back to back, right? And yeah. I've been trapped in this place, you know, in my space by myself for quite some time. And the last straw for me was when all of the, you know, things were going on. And, you know, in downtown LA, there was a lot going on, like for a couple of nights where people were just, you know, all type of moments. Like, it's just like, it was like freaking anarchy down here.
Yeah, it was bad.
And I basically said to him, I was like, you know, it would be, you know, I feel like I have a man, but I don't, because my man would be here with me and he was not here with me. And I shared that with him and he said he wanted to do better. He wanted to be, you know, to figure it out, to become, you know, this person that I needed and the relationship that I needed. And I was like, okay, right?
Right.
Fast forward to, you know, he's over here and, you know, whatever the case may be, he spent the night and things just didn't go the way it needed to go. It just didn't. And, you know, I obviously had a conversation with him about it. And I was like, you know, I can't do this. Like, you know, I don't want to, I have enough friends. And if we are going to be just friends, then I don't want it.
Hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Like, I need something more than that, you know? And I think it may be a part of what I've been telling the universe, because up until this particular person, I had been telling the universe, Lord, please send me something other than sex. Because all of my other things that people, you know, the guys just want to hit it. They just want to hit it, knock it out the frame. And it was a lack of companionship, right? So that's what I was saying. I was like, okay, universe, I'm going to say I want something outside of just sex, something different than just sex. Then the universe sends me something different than just sex. But then I was like, wait a minute, I kind of want that too. Wait a minute, universe. You know? And, you know, he sent me a text message, you know, basically saying that he, you know, loves me and loves me as a person and this, that, and the other.
Loves you or loves you as a person?
Loves me as a person. Hmm. Loves me as a friend. Loves me as a human being.
Okay. Big difference there, yeah.
Yeah. And then I responded back to him basically to the point of, you know, I love you too, but I deserve all of you. I deserve every inch. And, you know, it's hard, you know, you are not really opening up to me in regards to me being able to be intimate with you, but you give it to people off the street. Because this ties into what I was talking about podcast ago, where I was talking about how I had an issue with him always being on Grindr.
Right.
And we were talking about that. And, you know, I think he got a little bit smarter about it. And he just took his face off of the Grindr and made it more mysterious. But trust and believe, he's still on Grindr getting it popping. And so I'm the person over here, you know, loving you, supporting you, being there for you, encouraging you, spending all this time, like spending so much time with him, but you are not giving me this intimacy, but you're giving it to people off the street. And I didn't want to continue. I was just trying to what it was doing to me was it was making me feel insecure. It was making me internalize his intimacy issues. I mean, it could be any number of things it could have been. It could be like sometimes people just, you know, prefer or it's easier for them to be intimate with people they don't know as opposed to people they love. Mm-hmm. He could have not been into me. He could have been, you know, have some past trauma. You know, it's so many different things. I was going down. And the thing about coronavirus is that you're locked in the house and all you have to do is have time to go down these rabbit holes.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
I'm in the house going, shoom, 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 shoom. Oh, new rabbit hole. Shoom. You know, I like, I can't keep going down these rabbit holes. And so a push came to a shove and I was like, you know, I'm good. And then, you know, he unfollowed me on Instagram and then posted a meme that basically was saying that, you know, when you set boundaries and when you, you know, you don't lose real friends or real relationships when you start standing up for yourself and set boundaries. You lose manipulators, narcissists, you know, users and abusers and soul sucking leeches. It was like a thing. And I was like, oh my God.
I can't stand people who use memes to communicate. It's just so stupid.
Yeah. And it was like, that was a lot for, you know, it's easy for people, because I am B. Scott and because I do what I do, it's easy if something goes wrong to paint me as a narcissist. It's easy to paint me as, oh, because I have, you know, certain things or certain, you know, in a certain situation. I'm the manipulator now. Okay. So you're switching it on me. And I actually did the hand clap thing for the emoji, for that meme, because I felt as though it was the opposite way around. And what happens is, and this relates to the Jada Pickett situation, and I want to be clear about this, Love Muffin, so y'all can receive what I'm about to say. When people get cut off from influence, when people get cut off from reach, when people get cut off from money, people start to act differently. Hmm. People start to resent the said person that's doing the cutting off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the Jada Pickett, Will Smith situation, August Acena situation, what you have to ask yourself is, why did August Acena, after, you know, because Jada said in her interview it had been some time, a good amount of time, why now? It was because basically Jada, you know, they had their interaction, you know, they were together for a minute, and then Jada probably came to her senses and was like, no, I want to stay in my marriage. This is not for me anymore. Or it could have just been that, you know, he was the boy toy of that particular time period. Because how I feel about it, like, and what my intuition is telling me about the situation, this was not the first time at the rodeo for Jada in terms of her stepping outside of her marriage or her having an open marriage type of situation. And it also was not the first time for Will. The only thing that was different about it, not different about it, the only thing that kind of stuck out to me was the fact of like August Acena seemingly out of nowhere decided to drop this bomb. And it wasn't really a bomb. It was like, because we all kind of suspected this was going on with Will and Jada, because there has been on the Red Table Talks, they had had a conversation before and she had said, you know, well, we still going to be under the same roof. You know, you can be on one side of this thing with somebody and I can be on the other side of this thing with somebody else, but we still going to be in this thing together, right? So she was hinting towards that for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And then here goes August Acena doing an interview and, you know, talking about this and sharing this information. And I believe that he's talking about it and sharing the information because he has been pushed out of the situation. If he was still happy in the situation, if he was still involved in the situation, if he was still getting the perks of the situation, I can only imagine that Jada and him were taking trips, you know, on boats and or going to different countries. You know, he was having all the nicest things, the nicest dinners. She probably dressed him, bought him a whole new wardrobe, probably was giving him an allowance. You get what I'm saying? Like, she probably was treating him like a king. And then she decided to discard him. And he's not happy with that discard being discarded. And it's easy for him now to come back and be like, it was this, that, and the other. But while you were in it, it was bliss.
Right. Yeah.
So like the guy that I was talking to, while he was in it, he was happy as a camper. You know, he had just sent me a text talking about how he loved me as a human and I'm a great person. And, you know, he would love to be my friend. But the moment he saw that I was just pushing him out of my life because I, you know, like a person, the thing that really did it for me was when he posted that meme. It showed me that if you could so quickly post something like that, and when you know my character, when you know how much I have been there for you and I have helped you and I've encouraged you, and you so quickly do that.
He turned on you real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turned on me real fast.
And it's not like you weren't asking for a lot. You were just wanting more intimacy.
I wanted more intimacy. And a lot of people, and Love Muffins, please tweet me and let me know, or, you know, or however you want to communicate with me. But I think Twitter works, and also maybe even DM me in my DMs on Instagram, which is, you know, Instagram/B Scott or @B Scott. A lot of people are dealing with intimacy issues. And I don't want people to, you know, I don't want to keep from people that I was in a situation where I was dealing with intimacy issues. Like it was a full blown, it was the strangest thing ever. It was like, you know, like almost like afraid to be touched almost. And I've never been in that situation with a man before in my entire life. And it had me thinking that, like, it had me thinking and doubting my fly, you know, like, what's going on with me? Like, damn, like, I'm in this bed frustrated. You know, meanwhile, he's sleeping like a log, you know, and I'm over here frustrated talking about, you know, feeling like I can't, this intimacy thing, you know, what's going on? I want it. And when you care about somebody, I feel like intimacy is a small, well, sex in general is a small part of a relationship. Intimacy is a, you know, another part of the relationship, right? Companionship is another part of the relationship. But when you have the companionship, when you have, you're starting to care for a person, you may borderline love the person, you want to express yourself in intimate ways.
Right. Shouldn't be that hard.
Should not be that hard.
Nope.
Especially when you're expressing yourself in intimate ways with tricks off the street. When people, you know what I mean? Like kind of like the Beyonce song when she was talking about Jay-Z cheating on her. You know, she had half of me and she ain't even half of me. The people he was talking to probably won't even 10%. 5%. Going once, yeah. going twice, sold for 3% of B. Scott.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. I can't let that type of energy in my life. I have to, this is the lesson for me and I need to learn it. And I kind of felt like I was a dog that needed to be taken over to his pee or boo-boo and smell it. You know, you go when a dog pee poo and boo-boo's in the wrong spot, you take him over to it and you be like, here you go. So I have to pay attention to who I'm interacting with. And I now realize that I need to make sure that in a lot of ways I am, you know, spiritually, you know, equally yoked. Ambition-wise, I'm equally yoked. You know, financial outlook, I'm equally yoked. I'm not saying that they need to be a certain type of income. I would never say that, you know, because there are people who are amazing artistic people who don't have the income, but they have the passion. I need for the person I'm with to be passionate about something. I've been passionate about building this business. I moved here in 2005. I started blogging around 2003. And I've been doing this for all these years and parlaying it into this thing and that thing and this thing and that thing. And that is my passion, being the best that I can be, being to doing what God put me here on this earth to do. And when you surround yourself with somebody that may not have, you know, don't even know what they want to do, you know, but somehow in the midst of them not knowing what they want to do and this, that, and other, what they do want to do is not be intimate with you.
Right. Yep. They weren't ready.
And I was like, no, you know, I deserve better than that. You know, I deserve a man that's going to be here for me. I deserve a man when, you know, people, I really felt like what was going on in downtown Los Angeles and even a lot of Los Angeles actually had nothing to do with Black Lives Matter. So the people who were doing the looting and the burning down things, they were not associated with the movement from what I could see. There were white people out there. There was a bunch of Hispanic people out there as well. It was very few actual Black people doing the things that were really, you know, causing the anarchy from what I could see. And they also seemed like they were coming outside of Los Angeles. It seemed like they were coming from areas on the outskirts, you know, like you could just tell by, you know, how the cars looked and how they were, you know, all like SUVs and pickup trucks. Like people came specifically for the reason to loot.
Yeah, there were cars with out of state plates, a lot of them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People like, this is my time to do this. And I'm not saying that is necessarily a bad thing, because I have to understand the fact that people have been struggling for months leading up to this. So for people that, you know, maybe they were needed, you know, maybe they really needed this in order to be okay. That's not for me to call, you know, make the judgment call. But what it is for me to make the judgment call on is the fact that I, with all that energy and stuff that was going on, it would have been nice to have somebody here with me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, as far as, you know, just in general, and he's just one situation. In general, I have really got to see, and it's not, I know that everybody is going through things. I know that we can't take people not being, I don't even know, because I feel like if you're not in my life and I'm going through multiple back-to-back, you know, very challenging, stressful situations, and I know you are too, potentially, yeah? But for whatever reason, we both decided not to check up on each other. We both decided not to be there for each other during this time. I don't see how you can be close to me if you're not close to me right now.
Yeah, this is the time we need each other most.
Do you feel what I'm saying? Like, I just don't, you know, like people been like, oh, you know, don't make this pandemic about, you know, like I seen these memes and stuff. They say, don't make the pandemic about you. People are going through things. You know, we're under pandemic. If I don't get back to you, if I don't check in on you, you know, then it's fine. Well,
that's not necessarily true.
I feel like if you're not checking in on me and I'm not checking, and it goes both ways. I will say this, it goes both ways. So if I'm not checking in on you and you're not checking in on me, that means we're not checking in on each other for whatever reason of what may be going on independently in our lives. But trust and believe, we are checking in with somebody, right? I have my friends that I check in with, that I talk to regularly. I also have people who were not quite at the level of being a close friend that I thought they were, that have been checking in with me, and they have gotten closer to me. Because, you know, people always think that the person that all, you know, they see me as strong. Everyone sees me as like, oh, I'm a strong bitch and I can take anything. Da, 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 da. You know, I don't have to worry about B. Well, okay. I'm telling you this situation, and it's impossible for me to not walk away from this situation with a tally of who's really in my life.
Yeah.
And if I am standing in this shit alone, if I'm standing by myself, I need to know that. You know, if I'm in situations or people in my life where, you know, people, you know, feel some kind of way about me, you know, or whatever the case may be, like, I need to know that.
Yeah.
You know, and I have taken that on. I have taken on, you know, when family situations, friend situations, business situations, I'm putting the whole shit on my back. You know, I'm going to carry it. I've been carrying it. I'm going to carry it. What, you know what I mean? I'm like that. I'm like, what is it? what we got to do?
Right.
Because at the end of the day, Love Muffins, And I want people to hear this and receive this. When it comes down to it, it is only just you. You do have, you know, people can have their companions, they can have their friends and everything like that. But at the end of the day, you have to be okay with you, and you have to be able to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and keep things going. What has set me back in the past has been me thinking I can depend on someone, easing up on me knowing I'm standing alone. Mm. And then, you know, trusting somebody to, you know what I mean? Like, you know, giving up some of that, you know, I'm in this alone type of mentality, and trusting somebody and being hurt, being betrayed, being, you know, knowing I have done these things for these people more so than I know anybody else will be doing for these people. Mm-hmm. And somehow I get labeled as the bad guy. Somehow I get labeled as, you know, whatever the case may be. And it's easy to believe that because of who I am in terms of my career and certain things. People love to paint a certain picture of people instead of dealing with what led up to these said situations.
Ain't that some shit?
Yeah, and it happens to me over and over.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're not the only one. I know what you're talking about. Well, before the pandemic, I mean, we were always working for other people, doing things for other people, helping other people, constantly taking on stress every day. And then this shit hits and you have all this time to yourself to think about things and realizing that you weren't really taking care of yourself. You know, well, that self-care thing that people talk about is actually a real problem. And once you start looking at what you've been doing for yourself, you realize you really haven't been taking care of yourself.
And that you've been running on E like I have.
Right. Yeah.
But what this pandemic and what, you know, all these situations and just the fielding of the information every day is a lot. And then I'm in the situation where I have to process the information to then come here and talk about it, to just as a human deal with it. It's like each day it seems like the news stories are getting more and more extreme. Like I was just posted one right before I got on the podcast where this Virginia trooper pulled this black man out, and the black man was taping him, and he said, okay, well, you know, enjoy the show. I'm about to pull your ass out here and whoop your ass. That's what he said. Literally, a white man said, enjoy, the patrolman said, enjoy the show.
Jesus.
Because I'm going to pull you out this car and beat your ass. It's like, it's not funny, but it's becoming so extreme. It's like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this podcast is about to get spicy because we have an exclusive.
A.B. Scott.
Exclusive!
I like that. Hey, Bree Scott, exclusive. That was good. So a number of things that we need to talk about, you know, that leads up to this exclusive. But basically, I know you love muffins. I've seen where I ran the exclusive that NeNe was fired from the Housewives of Atlanta. And to make a long story short, for all intents and purposes, NeNe has not been offered a contract. You know, she does not have a formal housewife contract that has been offered to her. And that, you know, pretty much she's in, you know, and because of my exclusive, she's put in a position where she announces, you know, she's leaving the show, right? And then she's moving on to other gigs. Or she, you know, figures out how to be like a friend of the show, you know, or a much reduced capacity on the show. And they give, you know, and then they would, you know, allow her to do that potentially. I'm not even sure that's even the case. And so she can save some face. So she has two options. She can walk away and, you know, and not allow herself to be in a much, you know, because right now, you know, as her team has quote unquote confirmed, there's still negotiations. No official anything has been given to her. All the other cast members have, you know, their deals are done and they actually started taping this week. So as of Monday of this week, they've already started to tape, right? And, you know, Nene is nowhere to be found as of yet. So, you know, we'll let things kind of play out, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, think about it this way. If there was not a situation going on at Bravo, why would Nene need to go to a sister network to be a co-host of a show that's in development? Do you get what I'm saying? She couldn't even go to another network and get her own show. She had to go to another network to be a co-host on a show that's in development. You know what I mean? There's like, you know, they're working towards potentially putting it out, but development is the key word. Mm-hmm. Why didn't Bravo give you that show? Why didn't Bravo give you a spinoff? Why don't you have, even if you were going to do a co-hosting show, a co-host thingy, why didn't you do it on Bravo? Kim Zolciak has a show that comes on almost every, you know, every season. Candy Burris has had several different spinoffs. And that's why Nene has been upset with Candy, because Candy has been and is the highest paid housewife. She also is the one who's getting all the spinoffs, right? And Nene was upset that during the whole Black Lives Matter situation, Andy reached out to Candy and they had this, you know, like a discussion on his show or something where, you know, he reached out to the head bitch in charge, you know, HBIC, as Nene liked to say it. And she was offended by that. And then she felt like that goes to show, like, you know, how she's being undermined. And that also goes to show that Bravo executives don't like Nene.
That's pretty clear.
They don't like her. And let's not forget, Nene was also not on the show for a season. Kenya was not on the show for a whole season. And there was a season where Nene was not on the show for a whole season. And last season, Nene did not appear in the first couple of episodes of the season because she wasn't suspended. Because at the end of the day, if you're the head bitch in charge, why are you not kicking off the show? If this is your show, if this is what you have built, the first couple of episodes set the tone for the whole season.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you start to paint a picture and people are like, oh, it's because you're friends with Kenya and you're biased towards Nene. No, I'm just telling, I don't make the tea up. I just put the tea out. And that's why I told her team. Her team came to me and was trying to get me to just change. The only thing they wanted me to change was the fact that I said fired. They were okay with everything else because she has not been offered an official offer. A contract has not been extended to Nene. So they were okay with that. They just wanted me to take out the firing. And Bravo contacted me as well and asked me. They didn't ask me to change anything in particular. They just wanted me to add a part to my exclusive saying that they said it was not a firing, and they did that for illegal purposes. When you said someone is fired, that opens you up to a legal liability type of thing. But if you are offering somebody that's something next to nothing in comparison to what they are used to, and when I say offering, I'm saying not formally offering, and you're having discussions, but what's being discussed is disrespectful in comparison to what you are used to getting, then that is essentially the same thing as being fired. And from what I understand, there are already two new housewives.
No.
I can, from my information that I have received, Drew Sidora is one, a new housewife she's been taping and is definitely in the mix, as well as there is another woman that they're taping. From what I hear, she's really pretty and that she is a YouTuber.
Okay. Well,
so
smart.
And what is happening here is that, you know, they do need new blood.
Mm-hmm.
They do need, you know, cause I mean, a lot of these housewives, they're getting up there in age, you know?
Yeah, they are.
They're aging out of the demo. Nene is literally aging out of the demo. And so they can bring in younger girls that are in the demo that want to bring the drama, that are not acting like they're above the show, be a lot less difficult to work with, and they have to pay them less. You know, so Nene made it easy for them to replace her. And they're sticking with it. Like, it's very apparent. And if you watch Nene's Twitter, If you watch, you know, how she comments on other posts where people have been, you know, quote unquote, you know, treated unfairly. She will, you know, you can see that, like, you know, if a person is happy in her situation, a person who has a, if a person, so this is how you know NeNe does not have an offer. It's because she's posting everywhere and as if she's, you know, like, why do you have this cross to bear if you're being treated the way you feel like you need to be treated? Mm-hmm. If you're coming back on this show and you had not been fired or you had not been off, you know, offer something that's so disrespectful, that's the same as being fired. And you have a choice right now, whether you're going to save face and take that disrespectful thing that has been verbally potentially offered to you, or you walk away. And then because I put out that you were fired, people are going to think you've been fired. She has two hard choices. And that's why her team was so mad that I did that, was because I took away their ability to be able to say that she decided to leave the show on her own recognizance. That's the fact. And if you're happy, you'll be taping this week with them. Yeah. If you're happy, you wouldn't be all over Twitter talking about, you know, implying and retweeting. And this is not the first time they reached out. Her team reached out to me. Her team reached out to me to try to get me to take down the post that I did where we had screenshotted that she had basically was retweeted someone and retweeted a comment that implied that Andy needed to be fired because he was racist. And we've never heard any of them talk about Andy being racist up until when she wants them to give her what she wants and they don't want to give her what she wants. She literally at one point tweeted something that says, Black Lives Matter, my life matters, and put her booking information.
Oh, man.
Then she did a video on YouTube where she basically was comparing what was happening to her to what happened to George Floyd.
No.
I mean, this is all factual information.
Jesus, man.
And if she was coming back to the show and she was not fired from the show and she has her offer in hand and she has what she needs, she would say that. She would say, no, actually, B. Scott, this is not correct. You know, I've been offered a full-time job. You know, I have my full peach. I'm coming back. I'm the highest paid housewife. Nothing has changed. Can she say that? Can she say nothing has changed? something's going. Where there's smoke, there's a fire, baby. And this, how I feel about this is no ulterior motive than we post these stories and we get clicks to our site. And that's how we make our money. It doesn't matter who it is. You know, I recently was able to see Tamar Braxton, and we had a wonderful conversation and we have mended the, you know, whatever drama that we had going on based upon I was the one that exclusively broke the information about her being fired from The Real. And she explained to me that that was a very sensitive time for her in terms of just, you know, she just didn't want to see it in her timeline. And it was before you could mute people. So she just unfollowed people. And I was one of the people that she unfollowed. I was also the one that put out that she was heading to divorce and that that Vince was abusing her. So it was two things going on there that I want, you know, people, I guess, and it's only human, I guess, if somebody's out here telling you business, you would resent them. But for me, it is a part of why celebrities are celebrities. You know, we talk about what's going on with them. And in the business where I feel like if I don't break the exclusive, TMZ is going to break it.
Yeah.
Another blog is going to break it. So it was good to know that I could have the conversation with Tamar and she could get it. You know, and she got it and she was full of, actually, like, she was very delightful. You know, the Tamar that I saw was super delightful and fun. And, like, you know, she has a personality that draws you in. And I can connect to some of the things that we were talking about. I connected to the hurt that she experienced from being in this business. This business is not easy. And there's bound to be situations that happen that, you know, are not necessarily ideal. But, you know, we all have to kind of, you know, we're in this, it's like a one big game per se. And, you know, it is true that we have, there are human beings attached to it. You know, but at the end of the day, I have a job to do. And if I don't do it, somebody else will. And though that person would be making those coins and not I. And I believe that, you know, a lot of times people initially, you know, get into contracts and get into deals that may not be what they intended later on. Or, you know, these networks, it's a situation, you know, and they are definitely trying to keep the money that they make for themselves. Yeah. And talent has never honestly been the priority. But then you also have to understand too, that for a lot of these reality stars, had it not been for this show or these networks, they wouldn't be anyone. Network can literally say to Nene, we made you.
They did.
They can literally say that. And I do wholeheartedly believe that they're also saying, we can let you go. Because you knew there was an issue that if, you know, you're the head bitch in charge, why are you not appearing in the first couple of episodes of the season? Because you are, quote unquote, still negotiating your contract. Someone made that call. And then doing the people where we're reading her on the reunion, you heard that it was, you know, she needs to come back to this reunion because she needs this check.
That's right.
And that she gets paid per episode. You know, and there's always different versions of how people spin things. But ultimately, what they were trying to do was they were trying to spin it into a situation to make it look like she decided to go on to different things, or she stopped by the show to tell the girls that, you know, I'm, you know, going on with other stuff, you know. I mean, they're literally trying to put Nene out to pasture, as we say it in North Carolina. And I said to her management, I said when they reached out to me and to her publicist and to Bravo, really, I said, you know, I tried to ignore it because right now, honestly, we don't need, to be honest, we don't need exclusive. We do enough traffic on other posts on the site that I really don't need the smoke. I really don't need people on my phone. Bravo and them were on my phone like 11 o'clock at night. I really don't need those people on my phone at 11 o'clock at night. I want to be having my rosé. I want to be chilling out. I do not want to be talking to anybody at Bravo at that particular time of night. You know. But by the third time it came to me, it started coming, like different people were saying it to me throughout the day. And by the third time that I got a whiff of it, I was like, I got to run it because I'm just not going to let somebody else get this. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't ignore it.
Well, when you released it, man, oh man, it definitely went off like a firecracker.
Yeah. And that's also too, let me tell you this. It also shows you there's some truth to it. It also shows you that it is true, because if it was a lie, you don't have to respond to it. If little old B. Scott has got it wrong. If I am not illustrious, if I don't matter, if I'm just a blog, and I need to say the blogs, you know, just say blogs. I'm just a little old blog. Then why was Bravo, your manager, your publicist, all on my phone? Not saying, they just wanted me to clarify. The only thing they wanted me to do, let's be 100% clear. The only thing they wanted me to do was her management and her publicist wanted me to retract the firing. That's the only thing they wanted to change about the whole post. Everything else about her not being extended an offer, everything else I said was not at issue. The issue is they did not want the word fired to be stuck to her when they obviously are going to potentially have to go a different way. And Bravo called and they wanted to just be very technical. They wanted to make sure that on paper that they released a statement. Bravo didn't even go wide with that story. And when I say wide, meaning they didn't take their statement and go out to the media with it. They just wanted to make sure that they gave a statement to me to put in my post so they're covered legally. So from what I feel like is going on is that they have probably verbally said something to her that was super duper disrespectful, amounting to her being like a friend of the show or less, or something very less for the head bitch in charge as she likes to see herself. And that's not going to work for her. That's what I feel is going on. So that is the tea. You know, we got two new housewives coming. And, you know, NeNe is, for all intents and purposes, from what I understand, she has been fired from what we know her to be as a housewife. We will see how it plays out. We will see what happens. You know, maybe she will, you know, accept something that is just, you know, that she deems disrespectful to save face. Or she'll walk away and say, fuck, I don't care if people think I was fired, you know, whatever. I'm standing up for what I believe in. She said, my life matter. It's literally how she said it. My life matter. Not matters, but my life matter. Oh, man. And another thing I wanted to talk on, you know, it's been very difficult when doing the podcasts to at times speak my truth, stay politically correct, not offend anyone, not share too much where people might think that I'm talking about this person, but I'm actually talking about that person, or I may not be talking about neither. You hear what I'm saying? And it relates to the Nick Cannon situation. Nick Cannon has a podcast like I do, and he was on the podcast and he was saying some things. And I'm not going to go into the merit of what he said. I'm not even going to go into what he said. I'm not going to break it down. I'm not going to make a judgment call about what he did or did not say and whatever the case may be. But it just turned into whatever he said was a problem for ViacomCBS. And in comparison to the money he makes with ViacomCBS and all these other places, he's probably not making that much from his podcast in comparison to that. You know, he's been with, I think he started his career with ViacomCBS like 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Nick Cannon's been in this business for a minute. And what I can relate to in that is I can relate to, you know, doing a podcast and somehow something you say will end up being used to cancel you. And that makes you, you know, like it takes some of the fun out of it. It takes out of, you know, like you don't feel like, you know, like I can't be off the cuff like I want to be off the cuff. I can't be off the cuff like I used to be on YouTube. I am, but I'm just, you know, it gives me another little beat, another little second that I have to consider what's about to come out this mouth, you know? And that's why I'm doing the podcast solo dolo, is because number one is Corona. Number two, I just feel like the podcast format for me is becoming more like this. You know, meaning like it's a stream of my consciousness. It's a, you know, I can be in control of what I say coming out of my mouth, right? I can consider what's important to me in terms of what I want to say, because at the end of the day, I'm going to be held accountable for it. And I only, you know, I feel like I have to make it more personal because that's how I'm dealing with all these different issues. I feel like I think today, for example, this podcast, I have taken the popular culture topics. I'm looking at it. Brian, you sent over a great list, you know, a great preparation for me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I'm looking at it and I'm pulling out what I want to talk to as it relates to my personal experience, right? So the way like the pandemic and all of the different stuff is going on and seeing my people being murdered every other day has put me in a place where I have to, like, you know, I got to be real right now. And I got to speak from the heart about these things, you know? And I commend, for example, Portia Williams and Yanny Smith. They were in Louisville, Kentucky, protesting for Breonna Taylor because, you know, they still have not arrested the people who killed Breonna Taylor. Those officers, she was in her bed asleep. Can you imagine being woken up to a situation where that ultimately ends in your demise?
Yeah, that was really scary.
And we have been hit with situation after situation after situation after situation after situation and another situation like, you know, it's like, it's numbing. Like, you become like every, it's as if these people who have been murdered, people whose lives have been taken prematurely, have all just become memes. They've all have become caricatures, you know, like people post it, you know, people are, you know, they tweet, you know, I see now the things like, you know, good morning, it's a good day to arrest the people who killed Breonna Taylor. It's become like a, just a thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, and before we can move in to get justice for one situation, another situation comes and they become more and more extreme. Someone was jogging, you know, someone was just, you know, walking down the street. Another person was asleep. You know, it's like, it's like so many things.
And more keep surfacing.
Yeah. And then, you know, like I was saying earlier, you have to be, you know, very conscious of the energy you have around you and making sure that you are spiritually, ambition-wise, et cetera, equally yoked. Megan Thee Stallion. Megan Thee Stallion needs to take an evaluation right now of the people that she's hanging around. So basically what happened was we saw these, saw a video of her hanging out with Kylie Jenner and then Tory Lanez. And we saw that and like, are they having a good time? Everybody seems a little lit. And then come to find out, somehow one thing led to another. The first story we hear is that there were some shots, you know, Tory was shooting up in the air or something, or somebody was shooting up in the air and Megan went to the hospital, or Megan was arrested. That's what I think was the first story, that, you know, everybody was arrested. Then it came out that Megan went to the hospital. Then they said that the feet, that her foot, you know, she maybe had been shot in the foot. And everybody was like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe it's a mistake. We're trying to figure out who it is. The best friend came out and said that she didn't, of course she didn't shoot her, but she was there. And then Tory hasn't said anything yet, but a producer for Megan said that, you know, Tory's days are, you know, numbered, which implies that he shot Megan. Megan didn't release a statement basically saying that, you know, the characterization of events were not true. That somebody tried to, you know, she went to the hospital for gunshot wounds, and that she felt that that whoever was behind it intended to harm her. But what that boils down to is that you really need to check and do an inventory of the random people that you are hanging out with that you really don't know. Mm-hmm. And I wholeheartedly agree with that, because you have to be careful with that, because you otherwise end up getting shot or end up getting corona. it's a life or death situation. I don't want to get shot, nor do I want to get Rona. This real. And then we have, you know, just like life is coming at all of us fast. You know, there's the, you know, Brishire Gray from America, from Empire. He was arrested, you know, because his wife, you know, ran to the gas station and said that he's been beating her for hours.
Yeah, damn.
And when I saw the mugshot, it looked like somebody has, you know, was beating Brashear for hours.
he looked fucked up.
Life has been beating his ass.
Yeah.
I almost didn't even recognize who he was. And it's again to the point where, is Empire cursed? Is Jesse? Now is this? Like, what is really going on? And I just don't see how they're going to be able to open up any sports, you know, because COVID is so everywhere. You know, Russell Westbrook came out and said that he was positive for COVID-19. So many, like, it's just like, it's just so much stuff going on.
They're still trying to do it. They're still trying to push sports forward, though. And I still don't get that. I don't understand.
I don't understand how you can push sports forward. I don't understand how you can go to the gym. Right. Anything where you're breathing heavy and you're sweating and it's a contact sport.
Yeah, it's true.
And they said that even if you contract it, you may lose your immunity to it within 30 days or less. So there are stories now of people who have contacted it multiple times.
Oh, man. How do you get it multiple times? I mean, after once, I wouldn't ever leave my house. I don't get it.
And all we have to do is wear a mask. Yeah. Every other country basically has dealt with this. But we somehow, as Americans, we're supposed to be the most advanced, the most opportunity, the most educated. It let us tell it, you know, that we are ahead of everybody. Yeah, we are ahead of everybody in deaths.
We fucking it up the most.
Like, it is over here going in on us. It's like, I just don't know what to say. It's just so many things. So many moments. So many, like, you know, random stuff, like people watching a boxer live stream his suicide on Facebook Live. Like, these are the type of headlines that you just look at and you're like, it's like, and then all these different people, you know, are passing away. Nyla Rivera, you know, she, you know, took her son out on a boat ride. And I think that, you know, a lot of people, when they heard the news that she was missing, because of other things that we have read and, you know, and heard, you know, we thought initially that it was very likely it was a suicide. I think that was what most people thought.
I have to admit I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was what most people thought. Most people thought that she went out there to do that. And, you know, but I had questions. I was like, you know, but certain things, like she left a purse in a car, you know, her son was out, you know, like it just, it was like a certain things that made me think like, okay, this is suicide, but there's something about it just seems crazy.
It's a little weird that her son was sleeping when they found him. I can't understand that.
Well, maybe he thought that she was going to come back.
After disappearing underneath the water?
Maybe he's 5 years old. I don't know. But they, the narrative that they gave us, they said they thought, they think that she could, she mustered enough energy to get him back on the boat, but didn't have enough energy for herself to get back on the boat.
Yeah, sad.
But being that all of this, nobody was there and there's no footage, how could they know? You know what I mean? That's speculation too.
Mm-hmm.
How do they know that? And like you said, him being asleep on the boat, could it have been that she waited for him to go to sleep and then she jumped off? But he told the police that he said the mommy was went in the water and she didn't come back.
Right. Poor kid.
And can someone enlighten me on this? Maybe a Love Muffin, you know, somebody. Cause, I mean, I did grow up near the rivers and in oceans and also the lakes. Lake water to me is not, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but all the lake water I've seen is dark and murky. And nothing about it makes me want to jump in the water. Because, I mean, it's like green and algae and there's like stuff in it and like all type of moments, you know? Like, so I just, I don't, I was just like, I just, ooh.
I've been to that lake before. And yeah, it is murky. But I mean, I've jumped in the lake before and I do remember feeling like things on my feet, like twigs or some kind of things. Like there is a possibility you could get snagged in there. So, I mean, It did kind of freak me out a little bit. But I didn't think that there was that much of a current in lakes. I thought lakes were pretty calm, but apparently that lake has been known to be a little dangerous, and they don't have signs posted about it. So I don't know. It could be dangerous.
And then I started reading on Wikipedia, and there have been several people that have been went missing in that lake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More than probably several, you know. That's why I was concerned. I was like, well, damn, but, you know, how do we know it's her body? You know, it was like I was going down the rabbit hole again, you know. Sure. You know, what if it's another body? What if it's multiple bodies? Like, what's happening? It's just like stuff, stories like that is heartbreaking, you know. Like, and this, all of these things, the reason why also I think it was very believable that it was suicide for her was because we all are going through very stressful situations at this time all at once, all of us. So if someone ends up passing away and it in any way could possibly be a suicide, I think we all are inclined right now that it could be that. Lisa Marie Presley's son, Benjamin, died at 27 from a suicide. You know, so it's just a lot. It's just a lot. There's a lot to unpack in the news.
And with that being said, we're sponsored by BetterHelp this week.
We are. We are sponsored by BetterHelp this week. You know, that's what a lot of people, I believe, need is somebody to talk to. And for me, having an independent person to talk to outside of, you know, people who know me, you know, people who, you know, a person that doesn't have an agenda, a person that's not biased by me or knowing me or the treatment of that I have given them, you know. It really goes a long way to have a trained professional giving you feedback. But that being said, you know, I think we have covered all the different things. You know, I thank you, Love Muffins, for listening to this podcast. It means a lot to me that you guys support me and that you have been checking in on me. You know, Corona is still here. I want you all to wear a mask. I want you all to think about, you know, wearing a mask is about protecting others. You protect others from what you may be carrying, right? And so when, and if everybody wears a mask, they said this could be gone in 4 to 6 weeks. What is so hard? At very least, you know, maybe you were inconvenienced by wearing something over your mouth. At most, you're saving somebody's life. So let's try to save somebody's life. Let's try to be, you know, the change we want to see in the world. You know, even, and there's so many conspiracy theories out there. People bring me conspiracy theories like none other. Like every day there is a conspiracy theory of some sort going on. And I just really feel like, you know, we can't buy into that. That may or may not be true. You know, what they're saying about masks or what they're saying about this is not as bad as what people think and this, that, and the other. And everybody got a doctor friend. Everybody got a somebody somewhere that told them something. Well, all I know is that I just feel like and know for a fact that these companies, this country, which is driven by money, which is driven by things being open, there's no way that people will be cutting, you know, shutting down if it wasn't real. There's no way that Walmart, okay, and that family is not a liberal family. There's no way that Walmart will be requiring masks at every location and the Sam's Club and their Sam's Club's location if it wasn't real. This is a real thing. And maybe you have an immune system that's strong enough that can fight Corona with no problem, but you may give it to someone else that may not have that type of immune system. You may give it to your parents. You may give it to your grandparents. You may give it to somebody else's grandparents or parents. You know, like you have to think about, you know, this is a thing. This is a test. This is like, I feel like we're all in a, you know, I always used to hate group projects because I can only be accountable for myself. But we're in this group project called coronavirus. And the project is can we all just figure out how to do something like simple, which is wearing a mask if you go out in public?
I personally know people that have died from this and who have it. So wear the damn mask.
Oh my God. And how quickly did they, you know, from symptoms to passing away?
Within a week.
Jesus.
And they died alone, by the way. Also, I mean, they had to use FaceTime to say goodbye to their wife and children. And it was, it's absolutely devastating. I mean, I know more than 3 or 4 people that have got it and died.
Wow.
And it's not like through somebody else. I actually knew these people. So it's real. And wear the damn
mask. Like they have left this earth.
Yeah.
That is definitely something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on that note, Love Muffins, I do appreciate you. I hope that you guys continue to be safe. And, you know, please follow me on Instagram at B Scott. I also thank you so much for following lovebscott.com and visiting every day and sharing my posts. And I do see all you Love Muffins that support me and go in on people who try to say not so nice things about me, which I do appreciate. But you also have to understand, just like I was saying to, you know, talking about, you know, when I was speaking to Tamar and also Nene and all the other situations, you can't take any of this too seriously because this is showbiz. Okay. So when you, even if you see someone saying something negative about me, they know the name. They know who they're talking about. They go to my website and that makes me money. So I thank them for that. And I thank you. And until next time, double kisses. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to The B Scott Show. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Love B Scott. And make sure you review the show on iTunes. And you can always find me on lovebscott.com.